Welcome to WUSF's Daily News Summary Podcast, a review of the day's news from Florida.
I'm WUSF Morning Edition host Carson Cooper. This podcast is a free service of WUSF 89.7. We are able to bring you this service thanks to the generous support of our members. To become a WUSF member, log on to our website, wusf.org. It is Veterans Day, and there are a number of ceremonies and observances scheduled for today around the area. There was one ceremony yesterday near the site of Tampa's very first military post at Fort Brooke. A covenant was signed between the city of Tampa and the military. WUSF's Bobby O'Brien reports.
When folks talk about MacDill Air Force Base, it's often about the base's economic contribution to the community. But Tampa Mayor Pam Iorio sees a much broader picture.
The military is made up of people. Families, people who are sacrificing, who are serving, who are doing things and keeping us safe throughout the world, things that many of us would not choose to do.
Iorio and nine military representatives signed the official covenant. One was Major Hus Siddiqui, representing military families. His wife, Frauka Siddiqui, says support could be something as simple as a conversation with someone whose spouse is deployed.
I'm with the five children, so I don't really get so much time to talk with other adults. And so when my husband is gone, then it's even less adult time. So just to take time to talk with the families, that helps a lot.
Tampa is one of more than 100 communities that have signed military covenants. Bobby O'Brien, WUSF 89.7 News.
State regulators had some questions for executives with Citizens Property Insurance Corporation yesterday about why that company wants to charge more. James Call reports from Tallahassee.
State-backed Citizens Property Insurance wants to raise annual premiums by 7.5% in the most hurricane-vulnerable areas. The increase would affect more than 300,000 homeowners. Citizens is seeking $140 million in new revenue to offset costs. However, the state questions how Citizens came up with that number. Here, regulator Ken Ritzenthaler questions Citizens' Brian Donovan.
The fact is, there is no information for us to determine what that cost is.
We certainly have that information and can provide it, include it in the filing. But
well, the filing is supposed to be complete, and you're saying here's a cost item which we have no information.
Well, initially, as stated, we said, you know, we considered that under the umbrella of the CAT financing surcharge.
Homeowners can comment on the rate request. They have until November 12th to send comments to rate hearings at floir.com. The subject line should read Citizens HRA. For Florida Public Radio, I'm James Call.
The asking price for homes in the Sarasota and Bradenton area may be creeping up a bit. Florida Association of Realtors says the median sales price was up around 5% from the previous quarter. That's the good news, but if you go back a year, prices are still down 22% from the same quarter in 2008. The association figures the recent sales numbers got a bump by that new first-time homebuyer's tax credit. The low cost of distressed homes probably did not hurt either. One piece of real estate in Sarasota sold for a dollar yesterday, Ed Smith Stadium. City sold the stadium to Sarasota County as part of the deal to get the Baltimore Orioles settled in for spring training. The team committed to a 30-year deal to move over the summer, but the Sarasota Herald Tribune reports that it's still not for sure the team will report this coming spring. The paperwork is still being sorted out. This podcast is a free service of WUSF 89.7. We are able to bring you this service thanks to the generous support of our members. To become a WUSF member, log on to our website, wusf.org. Now for a look at the stories that made news later in the day, here's WUSF's Susan Giles Wantuck.
Thanks, Carson. Florida lawmakers want the state's U.S. senators to help change what they say is an unfair Medicaid funding formula. Senate President Jeff Atwater and other legislative leaders wrote that recovery after the 2004-05 hurricanes temporarily boosted the state's per capita income that distorted the formula for determining federal and state shares of the joint health care program. The state lawmakers say if not for Medicaid stimulus dollars, Florida would have lost nearly $460 million in federal funding over a three-year period through 2010. But that ends next year, Florida will have to pay an additional $668 million. The state senators are also asking for another year of Medicaid stimulus. California, it seems, is not the only state in financial trouble. A report released today by the Pew Center on the state says Florida and eight other states are on the brink of fiscal calamity. That could mean higher taxes, more government employee layoffs, increasingly crowded classrooms, and fewer services in states that account for more than one-third of the U.S. population and economic output. Most of the states face rising unemployment and high home foreclosure rates, and their revenues have dropped by double-digit percentages. The researchers are urging quick action from lawmakers and governors to prevent economic catastrophe. The mother of a South Florida boy accused of setting another boy on fire says her family is sorry for what happened, and she is defending her son Matthew Bent as a helpful teenager who mowed neighbors' yards and volunteered at church yard sales. The Broward State Attorney's Office says Bent was the mastermind behind the attack on Michael Brewer. Brewer was doused in rubbing alcohol and set on fire. He's still in the hospital after the attack last month. And those are just some of today's top stories on WUSF 89.7. This podcast is a free service of WUSF 89.7. We're able to bring you this service thanks to the generous support of our members. To become a WUSF member, log on to our website, wusf.org. I'm Susan Giles-Wantuck. Thanks for listening.